December 10th meeting of the Stewart Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners. Present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner. Zeiss.
Are your mics on?
Mine's on.
Chief Root.
Bonley.
Apparently your mic's on. Do you have your gizmo because I just called the order? Do you have your recorder because I just called the order? First item is public comment. No public comment. Move to review and approval of previous minute meetings. This is for the meeting of November 13th. I was not in attendance. Commissioner Conley, you want to address your concern about?
Yeah, we need to do an addition to this. I believe just before we went into executive session, Amy Cates requested to ask a question at that time, and reference was back to opportunity to ask questions at the beginning of the meeting, and that she'd have the opportunity at the beginning of the next meeting. So I just wanted to make sure the minister reflected properly for that.
Chief, we can ask Chris to insert an edit.
I'll have it edited and brought back to the next meeting.
Thank you. Other than that, to me, the minutes look good.
Okay. You need a second? Second.
We will accept them with the proposed edit. In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
Zeiss.
Moving to Chief's report.
Would it be okay if we skip down to personnel to address the visitor today and let him go? He's got some EMS training he wanted to go to this evening with some of our staff.
Excellent.
We've got Christian Gardner with us today. Christian was a call firefighter with us for about a year. He showed up just after I got the chief's job and asked for a call firefighter's position with us. And at the time, we weren't really sure what we were doing with the call department. And he said, well, can I ride with you guys? Experience? And I said, absolutely. And Christian became a permanent fixture in the fire station. He became part of the family. He showed up pretty close to every day. He studied paramedic classes with the guys. Medications, he went over that with him, all his training. Through ladders, clean toilets, washed floors. He became part of the Cthulhu Fire family. Last April, a position became open in Mashpee, and I recommended him to Mashpee, and he took a job with Mashpee Fire and has been there since last April. We've had a real hard time filling our openings we've had at Cthulhu Fire the last couple months, and Christian became available to us recently. He's a phenomenal person. He fits in very well. He's a hard worker. He's got quite a bit of experience. He's been doing this since high school intern, where he interned with Hyannis Fire. We would be extremely lucky if we were to get him on a job with us. He interviewed a year and a half ago when we hired KC Staggs, and he didn't have the qualifications. He didn't have his paramedic at the time, so he interviewed with us kind of as a practice and with Commissioner Conley and the rest of us, and he blew the interview out of the park and did phenomenally well. Now he's got the qualifications, we've got the opening, and he would be a perfect fit. I have no doubt he would fit in. No doubt he probably stays here the rest of his career, and if we're lucky, he gets my job soon.
Slow down, Chief.
Yeah, sooner the better. I guess the reason... when Christian went to Mashpee, I told the Mashpee guys and the Mashpee chief that they better take care of him. He's part of our family. And I recently found out that they didn't take care of him the way he should have been taken care of. So I reached out to Christian, and he deserves to be treated with respect, and he will be in Cotillet, and that's where he belongs. So that's why he's here. He's here to ask to answer any questions, if you guys have questions of him or if you have questions of me.
Okay, first question. How do you follow an introduction like that?
Exactly. It's hard, sir. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
So this would, just one question. Dan, your current job title at Mashpee, you have firefighter 1 and 2?
Yes, sir. I just finished the State Academy career recruit class 3 weeks ago. I graduated.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Do you have any questions of the commissioners?
No, sir. I just want to say thank you, and I'm very lucky to be here sitting in front of you guys.
Well,
I think we're lucky to have you.
You're very lucky to have Christian.
I would be very pleased to introduce a motion to support the chief's recommendation.
Can I ask a few questions first?
Oh, please.
That's okay.
So I know the chief expressed a lot of positive. Chris, you and I have met. We had the interview. And as long as you don't call me sir, we'll continue to get along, right? You can call him sir. He's older. So that being said, why is he leaving Mashpee?
To be completely honest with you, I grew up in Kituat. I've spent my full 22 years here. This is ultimately my home. Mashpee, I had hopes to become part of the community, and I'm starting to see that Kituat is where I belong. I left hoping to get some experience, and I realized that I'm going to be able to get that same experience here at Kituat and in the community that I grew up in. And it's where I belong. I want to have my full 30-plus year career here in Kituat and not in Mashpee, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to spend more time in Mashpee where this is where I want to be.
Okay, great, thank you. And one final question, and that is, what is it you're bringing to Kituat? What is it, you know, what is it you want to help Kituat with?
I want to see more training at the fire department. I'm huge on that, community involvement. I saw that Kituat has 2 high school interns at this time. That's something that we did not have at Mashpee. I'm very interested in helping those interns get into the fire service, just like I was helped at Hyannis Fire. The residents up to it, I'm going to bring my drive to train, my dedication to the fire service, and my drive to continue learning and provide the best patient care possible.
Okay, great. Thank you. No further questions.
Then I move that we accept the chief's recommendation.
No. Looking for a movement. I mean, a motion.
Yes.
A movement. It's been a long day. Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
Zace.
Welcome to the Kituat Fire Department.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
And don't call me sir either.
You're welcome to
go to your training. If it's an ingrained habit, you can call me. It'll be the nicest thing I've heard in a long time.
Welcome
aboard.
Thank you.
You're
welcome to go to your training if you would like to.
Thanks, Chris.
Start at the top of the chief's report. Is that acceptable?
Yep.
Monthly activities. We did 80 responses for the month of November, 51 medicals, 31 hazardous conditions, 26 good intent, and false alarm calls and service calls. Next month, I intended to bring responses from Marine Unit here today. I didn't get them done in time with all the other negotiations and activities we've been up to. So for January, I'll have a complete rundown of, like last year, for the previous year's responses. So a year compared to the last couple of years, and I will include a report on marine responses as well.
Chief, I had a question that touched right on this point, so thanks for letting me interrupt. Can you give me any more details about what was the nature of the hazardous wastes or liquids or solids that were where they were, how close to the water were they, anything like that? As I was reading, I was like, oh, I wonder what that was. Or is it just like gas or something? In the calls, it mentioned that there were three.
Oh, there were reports for this?
Yeah, there were three.
There were three hazardous materials calls.
That's what I was looking at. I was just wondering if you could, where were they? What goes into cleaning those up and everything?
There were no serious hazardous material spills over the last, since I've been here, actually. There's been nothing serious. So a chemical, let's see, it's November we're looking at. I got the wrong month here. I'm sorry.
One hazardous condition.
I honestly don't know exactly what they were. It could be a propane leak as a chemical spill. Those are common ones we have. We go do natural gas leaks. It's a hazardous materials call. We go up numerous times for cars that leak a little bit of oil. We put some speedy dry down.
Okay. All right.
We've had no reportable quantities to the EPA. So reportable quantities for a petroleum product is typically 5 gallons. We've had nothing. I think the closest one we've had in the last year is there was a tractor trailer truck backing into the new water tower on Main Street Cotuit, and it hit a stump and punctured its diesel tank, and we spilled about 2 gallons of diesel on the ground, which we bagged, and Clean Harbors got rid of.
Yeah, so we don't have any other category. We have to just call it that, even though it's pretty minor for the most part.
It's pretty minor. Hazardous material, so it could be spill, leak. Electrical wiring problems go into that, so power lines down go under hazardous condition. So you're talking specifically about a chemical leak spill, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look at this month's activity reports, but there's been none brought to my attention that were reportable quantities. So it would have been chemical leak spill. It could have been propane leaks or natural gas or, like I said, a small leak from a car, but nothing that required notification.
Yeah, caught my eye when I was doing the review before.
Yeah,
the
no, anything, whenever there's any notable type of call, fires or something out of the ordinary, I try to bring it to your attention, but there's been nothing over the past month or so that has been out of the ordinary or reportable.
And the unauthorized burning, that was not me, just say.
That's a common call. We do lots of unauthorized burning and educate people to the rules of burning, so that's a common call. Glad it wasn't you. Administration, so this fiber optic connections proved to be a long-term project. We've got a price from Open Cape to hook up to the system to run a direct fiber from our station to the nearest Open Cape line, which is on Main Street to us, so it would run down Coolidge, and there the price was approximately $7,000. As we got the price for that, they made us aware that the police department is also looking for a fiber optic connection to the water tower on West Street off of Old Oyster. Is that Old Oyster or High Street? Right down the street from us. So their fiber, if they hooked up at Open Cape, would go down the same route, and if we did it together at the same time, would be a significant savings. At the same time, after talking to Chris Wiseman from the water department, we became aware that there is fiber already in the water tank on West Street in Cotuit. So we are waiting for a price to run a direct fiber from our station to the water tower on West Street and hooking into the network that Cotuit Water has already built in place in Cotuit. So we'd be able to hook into their network, get internet connection through the Cotuit Water Department, who gets it for free since they've given Open Cape some use of their towers, and would also have the ability to put a backup radio transmitter on the water tower and connect it through the fiber system, hopefully, and share that expense with the police department since they've already got a backup 800 system there. So there's a lot of moving parts, and getting the fiber into the water tank gives us a lot of other options and other benefits that running it out to Coolidge Street wouldn't get us. So we're waiting on a price on that. And we'll be looking at a price on a backup radio system, hopefully with the police department, because they're looking to upgrade their radio system in there right now. So
Chief, so they're using Open Cape today? Water Department?
The water department is using Open Cape. They have contracted with Open Cape to run fiber to all their facilities. So they've got fiber optic cables run to all their water tanks, all their facilities, and run back to their office on Route 28.
That's fantastic.
So this is for their security upgrade?
Security upgrade. Right. They spent a significant investment in the fiber system. So there's this whole fiber network all over here to it that we could tie into and use with them and be part of that network, which makes more sense than anything else.
So I get that, and that's fantastic. And they're not paying anything for it now. Is that what you're saying with Open Cape, because they've had a relationship?
So they've got a connection to the internet through Open Cape at their facility for free for the next, I forget what it was, 3 or 4 years or something like that, because they're allowing Open Cape to use the water tanks for microwave transmitters that they may install in the future.
Okay. So the only question I have, two things, is one, is there a limitation that they have relative to utilization? Is there any limits on them? Do they say, hey, you're entitled to do X gigabyte?
I believe there is. I don't have the specifications on what their data limit per their contract is. I have to get that. So there could be the possibility, if we want to connect through them and use their account, that we have to expand that and pay the difference.
That might be
a possibility.
Also,
yeah.
And if there's any limitations on it, right? Whether, you know, what the actual access speed is, right? So
right.
Just two things that probably should be looked at. I think it's a good idea to look into it. But just to make sure we know if we go down that path, what we're getting at the other end.
Right. No, absolutely. We'll look into that and get the price on the required data, the bandwidth that we need out of there. But we don't have that data yet, so we're waiting to hear what the price would be and whether it's even possible. I can't imagine it's not possible. They've got a fiber with 12 fibers in it in the water tower, and the water superintendent believes they're only using 2 of those 12 fibers. So.
Yeah, it's only as fast as the slowest point, though. I get the
right.
Fiber to their location will be screaming. That's
right.
Fantastic. But the question is what happens after it gets there? That's all I just wanted
to know. So it's all fiber. Bless you. So it would be all fiber. So if we connect it in, it would be fiber from us to the water tank, and they've got a direct fiber from the water tank to their office where they've got a direct fiber input to Open Cape. So,
okay.
But there's more details to be followed up,
okay.
That's for sure. You're right.
Cool. Thank you.
So that goes in the backup radio system. So we're hoping to work with the police department, and they're looking for funds to upgrade all their radio transmitters, their 800 megahertz radio system. So if we can kind of get in on that and put a backup system into a local water tank for a very small fee, that would be a big benefit to us. Right now, Comfire's built a backup system that they allow us to use, and it's on the Old Stage Road water tower in Centerville. So all of us right now use the state 800 system. So if the state system goes down, none of us are able to talk to each other in trucks anymore. And it has gone down in the past, and there's one of the architects and engineers for it said if we get a Category 3 hurricane, it could go down for months and would have no communication. So that's why Calm put their backup 800 in. Problem is it's a bit of a distance from us, and it will work for most places in Cthulhu, but there'll be places that it would be difficult to communicate with. So having a backup here would be a benefit. And I
so that would be the network you're talking about, not direct.
That's just a radio network, yeah.
Yeah, the radio, but the direct would work still, right?
The direct?
So it's an analog, right?
Direct point to point, it's all analog. Everything we use is analog right now. The state's talking about going digital, but it's all analog transmissions right now. Direct works point to point without repeaters, and it'll work up to maybe half a mile
right.
Max, depending on where you are in your topography. But it doesn't work long distance. There are lots of places in Cthulhu we couldn't talk direct back to the station.
Sure. Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Training. The guys, primarily the interns and Lieutenant McNamara and Firefighter McPherson, did a RIT training program in the 56 High Street next to the fire station. So Firefighter McPherson took some RIT training on his off-duty time, and as part of that, I asked him to bring the training back to the guys to give them this RIT training, which is Rapid Intervention Team, which is rescuing firefighters. So the idea is this training to have firefighters go through a maze, basically, reduced entry props, wire entanglement props, wall breach props, and they follow a hose line through this maze and find a down firefighter, convert, put them on a backup air tank, convert their tanks so that they can drag them out and work on dragging injured firefighters and or anybody out of a building. So they borrowed some props from Comfire, installed them in the building next to us temporarily, invited, I think, pretty much all of our off-duty personnel came in to do the drill along with the on-duty personnel and our two interns. So, yeah, they did a phenomenal job. It was a great training. They were out there in the pouring rain working on it, and they did a great job. I'm pretty proud of them. It was a great effort, and it's going to be a big benefit to them. So it's an important training. So that was that happened the 9th, which was
Monday,
yesterday.
And Jeremy took lead on that?
Jeremy was the lead instructor. So he went and got this training on his off-duty time and coordinated with Lieutenant Pouliot to produce some PowerPoints to do some training on it. And then him and Lieutenant McNamara, with the intern's help, borrowed these props from Comfire and installed them all. So they did a lot of work. They filled the place with a fake smoke. One of our interns actually has his own fake smoke generator. So Matt Judge. His father's a retired firefighter from Comfire. He used to work for Katuit Fire as well, so they happen to have a smoke generator. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So they did a good job. It was.
So would it be appropriate to put a letter into Jeremy's?
It would be.
File?
I will bring a letter for Jeremy and for Bill.
And for Bill, of course. Sure.
They both worked very hard to get this done and make this happen. So I will get a letter of for your approval.
Yeah, and I do, Chief, I just couldn't get there for it. I heard it was a great session. I feel bad that I wasn't able to make it.
But thank you for the invitation.
No problem. I'm working on getting some pictures. Some of the interns took pictures, and I'm working on getting those to get them to you so I can get that done and get them up on Facebook. So that's it for training right now. Pearl EMS, the report was attached. Nothing new there. Personnel.
I wanted to go through a point. When I was reading the October and November reports
for Pro EMS?
For Pro EMS and the evaluations.
Yes.
And things that I'm struck with how, with our ratings as high as they are for quality of service and customer satisfaction, we got nothing but minor statistical, non significant statistical fluctuation. And at the top of the chart, and although that's terrific to hear, I'm wondering if there's a way to parse out the results to give us more useful feedback. Now, a blanket great is great to hear, but is there a way to look a little more closely, see if there are fine tunings that
I don't.
When you're banging around at 98.5 percentile, there's not a lot more information in there.
Well, you have to. Yeah, I went through and read each response, and it's hard to imagine doing anything other than having to read them. Because there were six respondents.
I read them all.
And. I mean, it's good. Most people are pretty happy when you help
them. So are you thinking along the lines of a follow-up interview of sorts? Is that to somebody to go back talk to them? Or?
Just in terms of their reporting structure, is there – I don't have any great suggestions.
Yeah,
I was just thinking, is there any more embedded detail that would be worth trying to tease out? Just for our own information.
No, right.
I don't know. I'll ask our EMS officer to look into that and talk with them and contact you and see if they can, if there's a different set of questions or different way to ask questions or a way to get some more useful information out of it.
Chief, excuse my ignorance. How do we capture that information? I know we have it, but how do we capture it?
Pro EMS, our billing company, sends out questionnaires to everybody that we transport. So as part of the patient's bill, they bill their insurance companies, and they send our transported patients a questionnaire asking them about their experience with us.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. There were some comments in this set I sent you that I found interesting, and I can't remember why I found it. I got to reread them again.
Someone suggested pillows in the end.
That's what it was, pillows. It was pillows, because I was going to, so we don't carry pillows primarily because we used to years ago, the hospital supplies us with linen. So we use our linen, then we go at the hospital and we get replacements and take it back with us, but they don't have pillows. I mean, the patients in the air don't have pillows for the most part. We generally use blankets, roll them up and put them behind someone's head and call it a pillow. So I don't know if the person that transported that didn't realize that we can use a blanket to do that, which I'm surprised, but I was going to put that information out there. I'll check into it, because I think maybe Calm buys their own pillow, disposable pillows, so there might be an option, and there's nothing wrong with having a pillow behind your head. That's a good benefit to have, and it's a low cost. It's certainly a good idea.
Better than a neck brace.
Better than a neck brace, yeah. Yeah. I will I'll look into the pillow possibility.
Okay.
So the if you look at the yield, if you will, the response rate is just low because it's volunteer people.
It is.
If you do 80 runs or whatever,
right.
you get six back.
Responses. Right. And we did 51 medical runs this month. I mean, we do more in the summertime, and we do five hundred, six hundred medical calls a year, six something. So. It is what it is. There's not a huge amount we get back. Yeah. But, you know, we got the pillow comment. That may lead to get pillows in the ambulance. You know, next month we may get some negative comment that says, you know, you guys got to look at X and fix it. And it's a good way to find out about it ahead of time. Well, we might not get that information. So, Pearl EMS, their QAQI, their quality control process, has identified issues prior to or Cape and Islands QAQI, so they've actually helped chain produce training for our staff that is beneficial and prevents problems. Personnel, IOD update. We have an additional firefighter in IOD now, so we've got three firefighters in IOD. We recently had a firefighter that went out with a twisted knee on a call. They've been out for about 2 weeks now, and they, as of right now, the next update is on December 20th, and the firefighter anticipates getting cleared for work on the 20th. So overall, it's going to be about a month out of work on IOD. It could turn into more than that. I mean, they haven't done an MRI yet, and it could turn into something else, but we're not thinking that's a long-term injured on duty. We're hoping it's not. The other two firefighters in IOD, we've got one just produced a note this afternoon saying he expects to be cleared for duty by the 30th of January, and the other one still has no date. So I did a calculation for a budgeting calculation going forward, and here's... So I did it prior to the note I got this afternoon, and it assumes that we fill the positions that we have. So we had one open position which just got filled tonight. Assuming that person comes on by January 1st, and the two lieutenants that are on IOD remain out through July, it shows us at an over budget of $150,000. The report I got today said that one of them may be cleared for work by January 30th. So assuming they get back between all the other stuff going on, they get back to work by February 30th, that would reduce our overage by $40,000. So we're looking at $113,000 over budget. We could have the other lieutenant. There's a possibility of them coming back and bringing us into budget, but that's not looking really good. So either way, we spend about $30,000 per pay period, so we have the money to get us through till the May meeting. So we don't need to call a special meeting. So in May, there's the likelihood that we'll be asking for a transfer to get us through the rest of the year. Overall, we're going to be looking at well over $200,000 in IOD pay for the year, and IOD expenses, and we budgeted $50,000.
So we budget how much?
We budget $50,000 for IOD, and we're looking at well over $200,000 for IOD for this year.
Yeah. And as you probably remember, this is an annual discussion about try to project when this thing goes from feast to famine.
Sure. I think we were higher in the past and took it down because we weren't using it.
There have been years that it was over 200,000, and the last 2 years it was essentially zero, I think, or close to zero. This year it's going to be up well over 200,000 again. So that leads to the next topic, which is the 13th firefighter position. So if we were able to find a 13th firefighter, right now we have 12 full-time firefighters for four shifts of three. If we were to identify a highly qualified, ideal 13th firefighter that met all of our qualifications, and we were able to get them on the floor, and we had anticipated finding one for this meeting, and things didn't quite work out the way we had hoped. But if we do find one, and we were able to get them to start on the floor January 1st, the expense of their pay, if they had a family plan, including a family plan expense, if they started a Step 3 paramedic, because they were academy trained, the total expense for the next 6 months would be negative $10,000. So we would save $10,000 by hiring a 13th person with someone on, with at least one person on IOD. So if we hired a 13th person and next year nobody was on IOD and nobody was on any type of long-term Family Leave Act or anything, it would cost us $55,000 for the year. So there'd be a net cost. The way I look at it, we've got two choices. Either we dramatically increase our line item for IOD as an insurance policy so we don't have to call a special meeting, or we look at buying our own insurance policy, which is a 13th firefighter, and using that person to fill open positions should they come up, which they likely will. We have an aging workforce, and the likelihood of having IODs is high. The likelihood of all of our IODs not coming back is significant as well. So there is a significant possibility we're going to need to fill a position in the next year. The idea of filling that position when the most highly qualified person becomes available is very attractive to me. Having to fill the position when somebody goes out and there's an open position and we have to immediately fill it, it's been extremely difficult for us to find qualified staff. Good fitting staff. If we have to find somebody with a very short time period, if we don't find that right person, it could have dramatically high costs for us. Sending one person to the academy is almost $50,000.
So, Chief, I'm on the record, big proponent of this concept. Chief and I have talked about this several times, about the idea of getting somebody who's the right person, you know, up and running prior to there being a need. And the Chief's looked at a lot of good options on how we could leverage that person. I want to understand something from a numbers point of view, Chief. I think we're tracking to be 150K in the rears with our overtime budget, right, come halfway through next year, right, through the end of the year.
Yes, through the end of the fiscal year. Right.
Okay. If we were to hire somebody January 1, we would save, would be 10,000 positive in that scenario.
Right. So okay. Assuming our other person comes back, we're down.
Nope. I got you. Just it would big, right?
We'll be
big
about 100,000 over, right, instead of 150, right?
Okay. So and then going forward, your estimate is probably an extra 55,000 in total going forward annually when you take into consideration where this person would be placed.
Correct. If everybody comes back from IOD July 1st and nobody over the next coming year goes out on any type of long-term leave, anything other than regular vacation, personal time, and regular random sick time.
I think those numbers, frankly, speak for themselves. I think they overwhelm them.
Tell me again how you save the money by spending the money. Just
sure, yeah. Sure. So right now, if a firefighter is at an IOD, they work an average of 42 hours a week. 42 hours a week, and the average overtime rate is just under $60, so times $60. So every week that somebody's out, I pay $2,500 in overtime.
Yeah.
Times 26 weeks, That's $65,000, almost $66,000 in overtime for a six-month period for one person to be in IOD.
You're saying that you're saving potential money that you would spend, meaning if there were further, if you look at the model, and given the number of people and so forth, that this you might expect an additional $65,000 in overtime beyond the $150,000 that you're already modeling.
The $150,000 includes that. So the $150,000 overage right now includes for the coverage expense for covering the two lieutenants for the rest of the year. So that this report was as of payroll for October 31st. So for 7 months of the year, for two people to be in IOD, the coverage, just the overtime coverage for those two people is over $152,000.
Okay.
One of them was covered by a 13th firefighter.
So you're just talking about if we had the 13th firefighter, we wouldn't have to incur $65,000 of that.
No, if we had a 13th firefighter, then our overtime coverage would be $75,000 for the next 7 months.
Right. We'll still be over budget. Yes.
This year we would probably still be over budget a little bit, but it would be dramatically less.
I get that. Okay, yeah. So we're shifting a couple of the shekels around.
We're shifting. And like I said, there's a fairly good chance. So the idea is we've actually identified a couple firefighters we've been speaking to in neighboring departments that are very interested in coming here and extremely well qualified, completely trained, very good fits for us and our staff and our community, paramedics. And should they make the decision that they want to work in an environment that is better than where they are, which is why they would come here, not for money. We don't pay them more money. We're just not a broken organization. It just is what it is. If someone would become available in the next 6 months, I would rather grab them now when they're available.
Okay.
They become the 12th firefighter in the next 6 months because someone retires.
Right. So how... rate your confidence on one of the two you mentioned coming back in January. How high a risk is that?
The one that's qualified January 31st is going to be out of work for another month for some other reasons, and then has to, at some point in time, qualify probably for an independent medical evaluation. So there's the possibility it will come back at the end of February, and the chances of that... 50-50 is my best guess. There's no telling for sure. It's been extended several times already anyways. There is a significant possibility that it gets extended further. I don't know. The other firefighter, I would be surprised if they came back before July 1st.
So we have a situation where, looking at it pessimistically, neither of these people.
Yes, and that's why I budgeted for the 150. Yes.
Well, I mean, I think that we should execute on this. I guess you are. So if you haven't heard that from me,
okay,
hear it now.
All right.
But I think there's two other advantages that just, I think should be noted.
Yeah, let me just put one more dimension on the table for this, because I also support the idea. But we haven't even addressed the fact that it's not simply a fiscal cost to cover the circumstance with these guys out. Our current staff is working way too many hours covering these openings. We are putting them, I believe.
You're right. I forgot to bring that up.
I was talking to one firefighter, and I don't need to name names, and they were going out, it was just another 12 hours. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Well, they're working up to 70-plus hours straight at times, and that's it's not safe anymore. They're working... We had a structure fire a couple of months back, and the three firefighters on duty were all in 70-plus hours straight. They're doing the best they can. They're pulling their weight. They're volunteering and getting stuff done, and that's what firefighters do. But we're trying really hard. It's just been a real struggle to fill these open positions, so we're working hard. And we don't want to fill it with the wrong person. That could destroy our organization. And we're hoping that a really good candidate will come forward in the next 6 months that would fit.
So I think it goes to your point, right? What I was going to say is quality of service and morale are the two intangibles, but I think they are very tangible as well. You can't put a dollar amount on them, but they're real. So
I think we get two choices. Either we increase the IOD budget dramatically, or we increase the personnel budget by probably the same amount. So I see them as kind of an equal. There's one gives a lot more benefit, but I think either way we need to increase the budget to
I'd like to make a motion, if that's okay. I'll make a motion that we authorize the chief to hire a 13th firefighter.
I would add to that the position will be consistent with qualifications in the current CBA for a firefighter paramedic. Do we have a second?
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Connolly.
Zace.
Thank you. Apparatus.
Before we leave it, there's no guarantee that the 13th person stays here for the rest of their career anyway.
No.
I mean, so it's...
No.
We have to take a look at risk, mitigation here.
I agree. But if we hire a 13th person that has all the training and we don't spend $50,000 training them, and if they do go, it's a more preferable option. I mean, we're doing the best. Hiring the right person is the most important thing any of us can do, period. I mean, that's getting the right people for the job is the most important thing. So if we can get the right person, then that's most of the job.
Yeah, so for clarity, the motion was related to hiring someone where not only are we trying to save the money for not have to spend other money, but also not have to spend the training, because you want someone boots on the ground running.
We would rather have that, and no one will be hired without coming to you anyways.
Yeah.
So if we identify somebody, we will interview, find the right person that we believe is the right person, and come to you and explain what their qualifications are, why they're the right fit, and you guys are the hiring authority. It just gives me the confidence to go look for somebody without finding someone, identifying them, and coming back and wasting everybody's time. That's all this was for.
So we have a check and balance.
What's that?
Just a weird question.
Just a check and balance, right?
Yeah, there's checks and balances, absolutely, yeah.
You know how firefighters have second jobs. I'm just asking the question. Is it completely weird to think about someone that works at COM having a second job in Kituit?
Yeah, the unions wouldn't allow them to do that.
Is that the issue?
Yes.
Okay. The unions wouldn't allow it to happen, yeah.
So one of the things the chief and I have discussed, and actually I'm not sure where we're at with this chief, is looking at the potential for a retired firefighter that's still qualified to be a temporary person? Correct?
Yeah, that's something I've talked to retirement board several times. So when firefighters and police retire, they have the option of working in public service. There's an 18-hour per week, so basically they can work a little less than half-time or full-time for half the year. And there's some salary requirements, too, so they can't make more than a certain dollar amount, and it's based on what they would have been earning if they'd stayed in service, subtracting out what their retirement is. They can't make more than that difference, and they can't work more than 18 hours a week. There's some significant restrictions on that, and they're also not covered anymore for line-of-duty injury. So if they get injured while they're working, and they're no longer considered a line-of-duty injured firefighter, they can continue to collect their retirement that they were, but they get no other benefits. So there's some possibilities there, but there's also some complications. We're trying to look at every out-of-the-box possibility to cover our station as effectively as we can, and that includes, call people, contract people, retired people, cooperative agreements with other fire districts. We're looking at every one of those possibilities. And honestly, we haven't found the ideal solution. We're discussing some solutions in negotiations now, which may help as well. So we're working hard to try to figure out what that possibility is. We don't really have the answer, unfortunately.
Thanks, Chief.
No problem. Apparatus, boat 266, boat 266. he'll be out of the water shortly. We're going to keep an eye on the weather. If it stays as warm as it is, we'll leave it in a little longer. If it starts to get cold, we'll pull it out. It'll be stored indoors in the station for the winter. We also, since our last meeting, I think, have picked up, I think it's since the last meeting, two spare outboard engines for it. The federal government made two more available to us, so we have two of the identical engines we have as spares just in case at zero cost to us. So we can use them for parts, or we can use swap them out if in the middle of the season one of our engines blows and we don't have to spend huge amounts of money on a new one. So.
Hey, Chief, could you back up for 1 second? You have reference to promotional exam of the personnel. Did I miss that?
I didn't put that on this meeting.
That's not on the...
Did we talk about that last month? Did we talk about that already? We have two firefighters that we promoted to acting lieutenant.
That's
that last month?
Yeah.
Notes. Okay. Sorry about that, Chief.
I thought I brought that up. We do have two firefighters that moved to acting lieutenant's positions because of the two long-term IODs. They both passed the lieutenant's exam and are functioning in that capacity now. So, the backup motors facilities are still working on renovations.
On apparatus, I have a question. In the November meeting minutes, there was discussion about an apparatus sharing proposal with Sandwich, and there was... we're looking for a more formalized.
We're still waiting for Sandwich Fire's legal or Sandwich Town and Sandwich legal staff to come up with a finalized document. So they're still working on the documents for that. I received the draft I gave you guys a couple months back, but I don't have a formal reviewed legal document to look at yet to approve.
Okay.
But that will be coming hopefully shortly. It's. They're anticipating their spare ambulance becomes available after July 1st of next year. So it'll be between now and July 1st that we have an agreement to use that spare ambulance. Station renovations, I don't have much to report there. We're starting to look at drawing up some drawings for the offices and how that's all going to get used. We don't have anything to present for tonight. The kitchen's... same as it was. It's been a busy month with Christmas and Cthulhu and the negotiations and other things, and haven't made a whole lot of progress there. Christmas and Cthulhu was Saturday. It went extremely well. Chili was good. Nobody got sick as far as I know. Santa made it. Everything went fine. Everybody seemed happy. Lots of kids, lots of people. We sold out. We didn't sell anything. The chili was gone in about less than 2 hours.
What's that? I thought Santa was taller.
He's short.
I'm just busting your beard there. Yep. Pulling on your beard.
Yep. Boat 266 did break Santa in the dock, and they went a little too fast, and Santa almost lost his hat and lost a little bit of his hair. Wasn't pretty. We're working with a local resident that bought the property next to the town dock, DJ McKinnon. He has bought the property next to the town dock with two properties next to it.
Right.
And he has come to us in the last couple of months proposing to build a dock with a deeded slip for the Cthulhu Fire District's fireboat at no cost to us. So he's been working with the town. We met with town manager, harbor master, DJ, his team that is working on this project yesterday, Monday afternoon at town hall. And it's going to continue to move. It looks like the town is supporting it. It looks like it may well happen very quickly. I don't think it'll happen for next year, but it's a fairly good chance.
Surprising.
For the following year.
Surprising that it would happen quickly.
He's a very motivated person. He does developments for a living. He manages projects effectively, and he does things at a private pace, not at a public pace, and I see this getting done very fast.
I hope he's successful.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to work out. He wants to volunteer half of his dock for public safety, harbor master, police, whatever boats we choose to put on it.
That's a great angle.
He's talking about making space available for a building for the town to build there with a bathhouse or an office for harbor master or someone like that. I'm trying to think what other accommodations he's looking for ways to make his property fit in better with the town and the town dock and make the town dock a more usable property.
Hey, Chief, where would the ambulance or whatever come in? Would it come in down by the public dock right now?
The ambulance would park at the public dock, yeah.
Public dock, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but the proposal drawings, it's 30 feet.
I got the proposal drawing, but someone wants to look at it. So,
I love to look at them, yeah.
I think the proposals are further on. He also is proposing removing this existing bulkhead there where the Katua Oyster Company used to be. He's proposing removing the bulkhead and putting in a fixed pier with a floating dock. In the floating dock, he also wants to put in shellfish hatching equipment to increase the shellfish for the harbor. He's talking about restoring the beach to a natural beach and not having a concrete wall, which would increase the habitat for shellfish. There's a lot of ecological benefits for what he's proposing, and also public benefits. I think it's a win-win for everybody. So.
The thing that caught my eye is we're talking that he was proposing as part of it possibility of a small public use building in that lot, and if it included a restroom, the town could finally stop bringing porta potties down to the dock space, and that would be a nice benefit. Okay.
That's all I have.
All right, and I think I'm current on all the warrants. I've been through them, so.
One of the things that I've asked before, is there a way to see more of a progress of how we're doing on each of the, I have to go back and try to remember, where are we, in terms of the allocations and how far we progressed.
For the budget?
Yeah.
There's a ledger report that's put out every couple months. I think it goes on the website. Lisa, the assistant treasurer, puts out a ledger where it
All right, I'll go look for it first.
I'll send you the latest copy of it, and I think it's posted online too, right? But it's a ledger, and it lists the allocated amount for each line item, the expended amount. I think it lists the percentage expended as well. So what I usually do is go back first and figure out what percentage we are through the year, and then I run down and see what's over and what's under.
Yeah, okay.
I try to do that on a monthly basis to make sure where we stand. But I'll make sure you get a copy of that.
We used to get paper copies of it and killed many a tree.
No, we don't need that.
Voluminous, having it posted online.
I can put it on Autotask every month for the meeting, too, so you have it available when you're looking at your notes.
That'd be great.
That'd be terrific.
They're your porta potties.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how often is it once a month they publish it? Okay.
Thank you, Chief. I am not aware of any other new business, so at this time, I would move that the committee go into executive session for purpose 3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining or litigation. If an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining or litigating position of the public body, and the chair so declares, which it does. Go to the second.
Second.
In favor.
Zace?
Pisano?
Conley.
We are now going into executive session. And we will not be coming back to you.